Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. When you're not listening to this podcast, be sure to check out one of our others, like this one, The Grave Talks. Every week, I talk with individuals who've been affected quite intimately and personally by the supernatural. We hear their stories one-on-one in our conversations. In fact, here's a 15-minute preview of one of this week's 2 new episodes of The Grave Talks. And if you like it, just search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe. Today on The Grave Talks, Discovering the Dead, a conversation with Amanda Quill. Amanda Quill had a very unique childhood, one that would leave her with many questions about the paranormal. She'd find herself moving from Canada to Scotland and then back to Canada again. With every path that she went down, she'd do all she could to read about and try to understand the world of the paranormal, in a world that at the time didn't want to talk about it. This drive would continue throughout her life and lead her to a journey of discovering the dead.
The spark. The spark starts when I'm really, really young, to be honest. And it does start with ghost stories. I spent my early years in Scotland, and my grandfather loved to tell me ghost stories. My grandfather loved to take me to haunted spots. And as he used to tell me, if your building doesn't have a ghost, then it doesn't have any spirits. So that's where it starts for me, is Ayr, Scotland, and looking over at cemeteries, looking over at haunted buildings, and just wanting to know more.
How interesting. So this was in Scotland. Did you grow up there? Were you visiting? What was the setting for you in childhood?
Childhood, I was actually adopted. I was adopted from Canada.
Okay.
And I was adopted to Scotland.
Okay.
And
wow.
So that's a whole nother story.
Sure.
But yeah, so I went there at a young age. I was there for probably about 5 years, starting at about a year and a half.
Oh, wow.
And I was in more southern Scotland, and then we would go up and down. We had family who had a hotel, a very haunted hotel in Paisley, Scotland, and then we had family up in Edinburgh. So that is kind of like my introduction to ghosts, into storytelling. And I'm actually an Indigenous person, so storytelling is so important for me. So
sure.
I glommed on to it.
Yeah. So tell me more about, you know, what were specifically some of those first experiences and encounters? Like, how did it go? What was, you know, what, how did you walk through it? What did you experience? What were you thinking at the time?
I was just amazed. I was absolutely like it put a spell on me. It was absolutely just, just stop everything. Like, kind of like get those goosebumps up, like that kind of experience for me, even just walking over certain bridges, walking to certain parts in history, walking through cemeteries. There was always a story behind it. And yeah, I started listening to those stories, learning those stories, and that became part of history.
Mm-hmm.
It became part of like how I learned the history of the places that I was.
Yeah.
When I moved back to Canada, I found that it just didn't happen naturally anymore. So that's when I started hitting the libraries, hitting the ghost story books, hitting like every single thing that I could to learn more about where we were in Canada. I grew up in by Vancouver, British Columbia, yeah. And there wasn't the history that there was in Scotland.
Sure.
So I just would just like Dewey Decimal System, going through those little things and learning every different name for ghosts, learning every single thing that I could, and trying to correlate that with the actual history of where I was. I mean, it really took me in Scotland that everywhere I would go, there was a ghost story. Mm-hmm. I came to Canada and there wasn't. I just thought, found that odd.
Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, obviously there are, but not nearly to the level, you know, because of the time, the history, the length that yeah. people have been there. Obviously, the more of that, the more it lends itself into to ghost stories. Would you say when you look back on this retrospectively, let me ask you this, are you a sensitive to ghosts? Are you empathic? Like, do you pick up on things a little more than the average person would?
I think I do to some degree. Now, it's funny because I never looked at myself or my abilities or my sensitivities as something to do with ghosts. Mm-hmm. I always looked at that as more as like interacting with the live.
The living, say. Yes. Yeah.
right. And it was actually one of my first team leads that I ever worked with that said to me, why don't you use your abilities as to ghosts? I already knew that I could work with spirit that way, but I never put two and two together that could help me with ghost hunting. And I still don't, because sure. I think that maybe that might, I don't want to be the person that says that I can walk into a building. Yep, it's haunted.
Sure.
Off we go.
I guess the comparison that I'm curious about is Scotland to Canada or North America, and the level of sensitivity of things that you just naturally pick up on when you visited there. Have you visited there as an adult?
I have.
Okay. So having visited there and then coming back to the States and stuff, obviously there's the mental aspect of it, of just knowing that there's much more history there, but there's also just the feeling of it. Do you feel like there's more of a connection, like you're in more places where there's more spirits per square foot than there are in Canada?
Well, sir, that's an excellent question, because I don't feel that way. I feel that there is more of an untouched history on the land that we're on here.
Okay.
And being an Indigenous woman, I feel that very strongly. I think that the ghosts or the spirits or the stories that are told over in Scotland or the UK, wherever you go, are much deeper than they're talked about here.
Sure.
I think that we have a rich history. We have a like thousands and thousands of years of legends, of ghost stories, of everything, but it's untapped because we don't talk about the actual Indigenous history here.
Yeah, that's true. That's very interesting.
Yeah,
that it's not discussed, because that's just it. It seems like the culture in the UK and Scotland and that, it's been part of life for quite a while as just a normal thing that people talk about. And it wasn't so faux pas. I mean, honestly, in the States, it's had its ups and downs in terms of over centuries, where it's like it kind of gets talked about and believed more, and then it's all put to the side. And in more recent times, it's been the last 10, 20 years that it's become, you can openly talk about this without people thinking you might have something wrong with you.
Exactly. Well, and I think too that people want to look at the history as, as a negative thing, where we can look at the history of the land. We can look at the history of the people that have, sacrificed so much to be here and sacrificed so much to stay here. We don't have to look at the negative side of things. We can, we can celebrate the history too.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of that, obviously, I think sometimes the attraction going into paranormal things starts with, inherently kind of negative because it's spooky and you mm-hmm. you get kind of drawn to it. But there's a ton of positivity with it as well. So tell me more, you you had these feelings over there. You got more and more intrigued. Did you have any experiences in your childhood at the time that you were in Scotland one-on-one, like with a paranormal event or moment or anything like that?
It's funny because the answer honestly is no. I never had a walk-in experience, yeah, or anything. I got a book that I didn't understand. And I used to take out every single book in the library, every single, even comic book that had a ghost story in it.
Sure.
And I would read and read and read. Like, I was so just, oh my God, just taken by these stories. And then there was one book, and it was more about theory, and it was more about how do we find these ghosts. And I was like, whoa, this is written by someone who believes these stories. And
yeah,
it just absolutely blew my mind. I was like, what if ghosts do exist?
Sure.
You know, would I be scared? Would I be? That's what got me, was the fact that there were people out there that actually were doing this. And I even like researched into going to school to do this for a living, and I couldn't. How do I become Scooby-Doo when I grow up?
You know, exactly.
I just couldn't find that that kind of avenue for myself. So I put the book away, and I wrote down a few names, and I waited until I was older. I didn't think I was old enough. I would have been about 8 at this time. And I didn't think I was old enough to understand. I also didn't think I was old enough to see a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Which is so funny, because that was my legit belief.
That's interesting. And, you thought that way. You weren't old enough.
Like, yeah, I'm not old enough to see a ghost.
I'm old enough to do the bumper cars, but not to see a ghost yet. Yeah.
Exactly. But am I tall enough to see a ghost?
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah.
It was very much that way, which really does, to me, lead into a lot of like my belief that, you know, a lot of this is up to the individual person's belief, mm-hmm, and belief system, which we can get into more of that later.
Sure.
But at that time, it just, I wasn't ready, or I wasn't, you know. So then after that, I took out a book, and it was about President Lincoln. And I was like, whoa, this is a real person. And then the ghost stories and reading those ghost stories over and over again. And these are serious people in our history. And that kind of more lended itself to that ghosts are real.
Yeah.
Like, it's this is a true ghost story about someone that I can, well, I can't really relate to him, but I could, being back in Canada, being back in North America, he was more of that serious figure.
Yeah. Right?
So it kind of lended itself to my belief in, okay, what next? What,
sure,
what next? So I didn't have that experience young at age. I did go back when I was 12, and my family had a hotel that was haunted in Paisley, Scotland. And they said, every night at 9 p.m., the ghost rings the doorbell. And so we would always hear it. My brother would be hiding in the stairs. So I used to, like, they would, my aunts and uncles and my parents would always kind of like set themselves up at the bottom of the stairs and wait for us to come down and listen for the ghost. So I started to know where they were. So I would sneak out of the hotel, go around and hide in the bushes. And that's how I found out it was my Uncle John who was ringing the doorbell.
And yeah.
So,
and the mystery is gone.
Exactly. And then I figured out where I felt more energy in the hotel. So I would go and I would hide myself in like cabinets. And this is like 12-year-old ghost hunting. Okay.
Sure. Yeah. No, I get it.
I would hide myself under little buffet tables and like wait for the ghosts to come, mm-hmm, out. And because they were always expecting me to be somewhere else, they wouldn't be looking for me.
Sure.
So there you go. That's ghost hunting 1987 style.
Yeah, exactly. Hope you enjoyed this 15-minute preview of one of this week's two brand new episodes of The Grave Talks. To hear the rest and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday right in your podcast feed, search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts. and press subscribe or visit thegravetalks.com.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.